I have been wondering and talking and reflecting and been curious about what the heck is going on the planet right now, and I thought... The best next person to talk to would be John Heaney over there in Ottawa.
I play with what I call spiritual mechanics, which basically through life experiences I came to a conclusion that life is both physical in what you can see with bodies and tables and chairs and more etheric, which to me in my short form I call the atmosphere, and that's got everything to do with emotion, vision, intention, genius, daydreaming, dreaming, focus, creativity, and all that. Our culture has long tried to separate those two neighborhoods, and they've never been separate. So the so-called virus crisis is a perfect example of something biological hitting all the atmospheric, esoteric elements of us as humans, including in some people giving rise to fear and panic. In my background, I went through a rather rare story of being challenged by a combination of five neurological conditions, including a form of cerebral palsy, and I went through the medical and out the other side, and then through the alternative and out the other side, and turned around and said, nobody's having fun. So that was my doorway into looking at attitude and the, as I say, the more floaty esoteric aspects of life and also how humans use them. And when I mentor and I use humor and I share with people about this, I often say to them, have loads of fun with these principles that we're sharing about because someday something's going to hit you and what you've learned is really going to be useful.
The idea of having fun is probably a little bit far away from people's focus right now. So this is not in a way to be flippant or light with things that are happening.
The surprise of bringing something light into something extraordinarily heavy. So it's almost like saying, why would you lighten up? And then it becomes, why couldn't you lighten up? And then it becomes, why shouldn't you lighten up? And then it becomes, somebody's going to have to lighten up. Some of your listeners know what working with energy as an indicator called dowsing has to do with checking energies. And I gave a talk to the Ottawa Dowsers Group last week, and we were in the middle of this topic. And I asked them to check the energy across what I called a police lineup of energies. The first one was calm. The second one was keep calm. The third one was stay calm. The fourth one was try to be calm. And then we moved into demonstrating calm, bringing calm, walking with calm, and interviewing calm.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
So even when you get good at this, even doing the same with heavies like fear and panic.
Yeah.
And daring to do that, too, because what happens is your listeners might say, why the heck would I want to interview panic? But if you turn to panic and say, I'd like to have a talk with you, nothing surprises panic more than that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So then the panic goes into a panic.
What?
Exactly. And then you find out that fear actually has stage fright because and so people around me, they would call me up and say, I've taken a page out of your book and I've interviewed the coronavirus.
Ah, okay. So how did that go?
And the consistency is that the virus is an energy does not want to be misunderstood, but it also talks of the quick page turner in society that is happening as a result.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, some of these were, you know, well-meaning and stuff and have some basis. But you had demonstrations, you know, hot demonstrations in Hong Kong and trade wars among big countries and trouble in Iran and everything. And you notice how a lot of that has just dumbed down. So that's one big shift. And then when you come down to basics of the potential of literally life and death, that really does draw us closer together. And what we're noticing across the board. I mean, history books are going to be written about this.
Oh, yeah.
And it is going to blow over.
Yeah.
And the stock market is going to go back up.
Yeah.
And so basically, we're in the middle of witnessing something. As a former journalist, my ire gets up with some of the questions that politicians and leaders are being asked, like turning to the Prime Minister of Canada and saying, how many people are going to die in Canada? Or asking the medical officer of health, how long is this going to last? And why aren't there enough masks? Because these people are a handful of people and they can't run the health system. The critics back and forth, what was too late and what was too early and so on.
Yeah.
So back to the practicing spiritual mechanic. No matter where you are on the globe, you're on the globe. No matter what's going on around you, something's going on around you. And here comes this big shift about your divinity. This is about people rediscovering or discovering for the first time their own divinity, about your presence, the value of your presence, the value of your influence, the strength of the sound of your voice, the difference between door number one being you're in panic and fear and door number two you're in demonstration and being level-headed. We all live in physical neighborhoods, and I do too. And I believe my neighborhood needs one sane Canadian.
Let it be you.
Let it be me. Our culture does not teach us the impact of one person. We are taught to play chess with the world about who's making the next move and what's coming next and what do I do and how do I react. So we spend a huge part of our time doing that, as opposed to knowing that we have influence. And I shy away from, what will I call them, perfect states of being. So if I spend my time, again, back with that calm, you know, trying to stay calm and keeping calm,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff, I get into performance anxiety because as soon as I become calm, I'll probably lose it. And if I lose it, I got to get it back. When your listeners say, you know, interviewing calm, the curiosity rises and said, I wonder what it would have to say. And
yeah,
how does it feel? And if I bring calm into my living room, it's probably going to say to me, I'm so glad I found your living room because I need a place to land. This particular challenge we have worldwide is raising a crop of hybrid humans. They have all these characteristics. We all have 20,000 characteristics each. We have the same characteristics in different forms, and that would be gender and height and hair color and eye color and level of education, race and religion. And these hybrid humans are starting to look at each other and say, you know, I do have all these characteristics. So does Lynn Thompson and so does John Heaney. They're different, but there's more to us than these aspects. So I want to come rolling down the ward of a hospital as a nurse and have fun with energy and bring calm. I told the dowsers about hybrid humans. At that point, one of the most serious lockdowns was Italy. And so I said, now what we can do here in this meeting of 20 of us, we can call in the energy of all these hybrid humans in Italy who are full of calm and common sense and love and wisdom and helping each other. And we can bring them to what I call the lounge, which is a place to rest and meet people. And we can do this by intention right in this Ottawa room. And because these hybrid humans are as sensitive as you are to energy and starting to work with it, like as dowsers, they can pick up the invitation. And by intention, you are sending light support to your sisters and brothers in Italy. So you are expanding your aura. You're using your awareness of energy. You're saying, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of all people in Italy, but you're also saying, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of all people aware of energy who are becoming hybrid humans, who would really like to participate, but they don't want to die of exhaustion, and they don't want to only rescue, and they don't want to fight and spread fear. You know, what's a person to do?
Right.
So one of the hosts of the meeting took out his dowsing rod, and as most of your listeners know, the reference to an aura around a person is their presence. And so he asked to douse the auras of everyone present, showing how far out from the body it was when they came in. And after we had played around a bit with this topic and introduced these concepts and done this work, the average aura was out 6 inches or a foot, maybe 2 feet. And now the auras were right across the room and out the wall. And in one case, he opened the door of this community center room and walked all the way down the hallway and couldn't find the edge of the person.
Well, it was probably over in Italy, right?
Yes. So you get feedback. You have the courage to play with energy and do this and make declarations without any proof, right? Because you're lining up with your creativity. You're owning your divinity. We're all divine anyway. As somebody has said, why do we spend so much time trying to disprove that we're all connected?
Yeah. And speaking of connection, I had a long conversation with my nephew this afternoon. And one of the things we were talking about is that this is such a time of awakening and looking at things afresh and realizing how much we take things for granted. How ironic that we are being drawn together through this, and yet at the same time, we need to practice social distancing, which is a new term. We were just agreeing with each other that it's a really good exercise in letting go and surrendering and facing what feels like death. That's part of the fear, right? Such a letting go that we figure, oh yeah, well, at some point we'll each face this letting go, as many have before us, but not today. Let's not face it today.
True. My second book is Ladies and Gentlemen, Daring to Live What the Soul Already Knows. When you fold in an awareness of history, you can invoke what has gone before. And you can say, here we go with the etheric atmosphere that's being addressed. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of all people who have faced epidemics, and they've been throughout history, watch what happens as my energy is applied to uplift people through this. So I'm very conscious that my voice, like we're having this chat.
Yeah.
It's creating a bubble. It's creating a pulse. Every conversation that's ever been had between two or more people creates a bubble and a pulse. You can imagine if you were a satellite floating above the Earth and you could see the energy characteristics of each conversation on the planet today.
Oh.
Woo. And so that's the livelihood, that's the liveliness of the fact that ultimately, each person is a tiny microscopic cell in the body of the collective. It's owning your influence. And among all these conversations, in all the, I was going to say coffee shops, but probably not today.
No, it's not today.
Not today. All these conversations are going on. They all have a pulse. They all have an energy. They all even have a color. And what's really interesting, what starts to happen is life in the atmosphere, as I put it, looking at all these conversations, is kind of flying around, and it finds our conversation. And among all the conversations going on, let's say in Canada today, I think this is a great conversation.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you, John.
So we're pulsing this conversation. It will soon be shared by your listeners. The conversation will come off the screens and the speakers. This conversation will fill the space around your listeners. So then there's a joy. This is coming of the lighter. You and I can already and joy, both uses of the term.
Yeah.
Having a good time and putting joy into something.
Indeed. Speaking of words and calm, and you mentioned common sense, I never had really put it together because common sense is calm on sense.
You could spell it a slightly different way, and you've just given me a great idea.
Come on, sense.
Very good. You get a high five for that one, which is touched etherically. So.
Oh, elbow to elbow.
Anything in your life can be created into a pie chart. So in your daily life, your circular pie chart separated into wedges is in 24 hours, how much time is sleep, how much time is eating, how much time is work, how much time is commuting, how much time is with family, etc. If you're writing a book, you have a pie chart, how much time is research, how much time is drafting, how much time is editing. If you own an automobile, your pie chart is how much you're paying in gas and how much do you need for repairs and how old is your car. And so the virus challenge is also a pie chart. If you look at people's pie charts, you can actually look at a person and get their pie chart. There are some people on the planet, 98% of their awareness is panic and fear. But a thriving nurse in a hospital somewhere might be 30% happiness because people need it and 10% certainty because she knows what she's doing. In spiritual mechanics, I advise people to think of their pie chart as including teaching. Okay, so we have the topic of the virus and the current situation. Mm-hmm. And your pie chart can contain humor, teaching, demonstration, hope, setting an example, and more. So in my pie chart, if I own it and harvest off what I'm doing after this conversation, I can say, ladies and gentlemen, just add a new slice to my pie chart. There's this and this and this and Lynn. And soon you're squeezing out all the panic and the fear.
Again, it's what you want to focus on. That's what expands. And remembering the love, remembering the humor, remembering what is precious to us.
Yes. So your pie chart about loving yourself, if you roll in spiritual mechanics, it would include washing your hands and watching what you eat and social distancing and being prudent and that kind of thing.
And rinsing your mind.
Gargling with it too. So basically, you do what's prudent and you actually teach with what you're doing. So I will be talking to other people working with energy this week, and I will apply this conversation to our sharing. Now, this is really interesting. Door number one is a virus bouncing from person to person, and door number two is Lynn's influence bouncing from person to person.
Oh.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
So this is how it works. And so when I mention this conversation to my buddies, I'm very prudent with my words. I just say I had an interview with somebody the other day who knows a bit about my work. That's all I'll say. And I'll say, tell me more. And they will read the energy of the interview. They'll see the size of the pulse. They'll see the change in the atmosphere. They'll ask the virus what it thought of the conversation.
Yeah.
They'll interview fear and panic around the conversation and play with it and whatever. This will give feedback from totally neutral parties who don't owe you anything about how this functions.
You mentioned the atmosphere, and I had forgotten that that's what you call it. You also refer to each of us having a crowd. We each have a crowd, right? Is that pretty similar to an atmosphere?
Well, the crowd's in the atmosphere. It's an aspect of the atmosphere.
Oh, okay.
So in journalism, in my early days, I came to realize that when a person walks into the room, they are so full of background and stories and connections and adventures and who they know and everything. Everybody on the planet is rich with connections, including relatives and deceased relatives, and you can add angels and guides and anybody else.
It's a crowd.
It's a crowd. So if you personified all these connections into people, that would mean that every mortal you can see is walking around with a crowd.
Right. You can picture that.
Yeah. These are neighbors and friends and relatives and everything. So this came on to me as an explanation of something initially, and then it became personified. And then I started to play with it. So then you can imagine you have listeners to this show. Each of them has a crowd around them. So how many people are really listening to this conversation?
A lot.
Not only the mortals.
Yeah.
You know, it goes way, way, way out to imagine one of your mortal listeners has a member in their crowd who might be a deceased individual who knows somebody else in a city across the country who's in trouble over the virus. And so this individual in the crowd of your listener leaves the conversation and travels over to the other city to help that person. We think of the virus going from person to person and surface to surface and handle to handle and whatever. But we don't concentrate on the fun of aspects of spiritual mechanics doing exactly the same thing. And when it's done lighter and faster out of curiosity, like, I can hardly wait to see what happens.
Right.
Some people who come to me because they can see energy say to me, there was nobody in the room but the two mortals, you and me, to start with, and now the room is packed. Eventually they might say, why are people in the atmosphere running out of the room? And I say, well, ask one of them. And a woman laughed and said, he said, we can hardly wait to get started. We're leaving right now. Because everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who...
Sure. And we can't always see where we're flowing to.
No. So I'm sitting here with a great feeling for all the listeners who are going to be experiencing this conversation. And I can say to them already, pleased to meet you.
And I bet they're saying, tell me more.
Yes. Some of them might know you as well. And to all of them, I'll say, well, now you and I both know Lynn, so we better get together and have a chat about that. And so you take the flavor of what we've talked about, something as big as this transformational change of the presentation of the virus as the impetus, because it sure has shaken up everything and a lot of our differences have collapsed for a while. Because the end game, when it's over and when the history books start coming out, the degree to which it died out and how fast has to do with each and every interaction. And the point that you're doing it not only for collective security or life and death, but it really means that you know that, you know, your actions and decisions really have an influence.
What will also rise to the top is in our individual lives, how we each have risen to this new time and how important it is to allow our emotions to flow, because you know that even at the best of times, holding back emotions only goes out sideways, as a friend of mine says. So it's even more important now. Just keep letting it flow. Keep loving ourselves, keep loving others, keep being kind, appreciate the beauty.
And we're part of the history books.
Excellent time to demonstrate.
And we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.